Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Including Intuka, trying to smash it into one
and
word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Intuka puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hi there, everybody. Welcome to the program, Felger and Maserati, on a Tuesday in the football season, which means one thing, Maz. What is that?
Bob's Big Boy.
Craig Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal, who does bear something of a resemblance to the character that was put outside the old diner. Does it still exist?
They are around.
Hell
I
yeah.
saw one in Detroit, right near my hotel.
It's a Midwest thing.
Yes.
He saw one in Detroit. It called to him.
Bears a little bit of a resemblance to the boy in the overalls in front of that sort of diner chain that is frequented in the Midwest, Bob's Big Boy.
Don't make me make that my Halloween costume.
So Greg Bedard, fine football analyst again for the Boston Sports Journal. We go over the weekend's games and do all things football. So let's get at it. What did the film show, Greg, from Sunday against Miami?
Well, a couple things, and I wrote about this on Monday morning. Defensively, the big difference for me in this game was, well, number one, the Dolphins' offensive line stinks. So the Patriots were able to be a little bit more forceful. I thought, you know, the middle, which failed them against the Lions and so many times this year, from nose tackle to middle linebacker to safety.
Right, you've been big on the D tackles have been
yes.
a big problem.
Yeah, I mean, Malcolm Brown, Danny Shelton, really those two guys, they just haven't been good enough. So that's why the run defense hasn't been good enough. So they were much better in this game, getting off blocks, being forceful. Some of that was the competition against the Dolphins. The Dolphins lost their center at one point, which didn't help. But I thought the bigger thing was the Patriots were much more physical on defense. And I wrote a column about this on Monday, is that they almost it wasn't the same game plan. And we've seen them do this from time to time, and it's part of almost every game plan where they knock the snot out of certain players. And the Patriots went into this game. Obviously, they had a good scout. They knew if so-and-so, like Danny Amendola, lines up here or the running back is offset, all this stuff, we need to hit them coming out of the backfield. So, I mean, Tannehill, I think, attempted 20 passes in the game, and I have pictures on there plus a video of 12 instances where, coming off the line, the Patriots nailed one or two players. And I think they went in knowing that if they could take away Tannehill's first read, his first quick throw, because he's not that developed as a quarterback.
Yeah. He's not that good.
Right.
Go ahead.
That he would be confused, slowed up, all that stuff. And I thought the execution was tremendous. And we've seen this over the past couple of years, especially since I've been on the radio show, where, you know, the Patriots will play pretty crappy defense for a while, and then all of a sudden they'll have a game where they just execute well and they shut down the opponent. And this was this game.
So, look, I went through and looked at those images that you have up on your website at bostonsportsjournal.com. And to me, it illustrates it extremely well. I'm giving you credit, Greg. How do you like that?
Oh, thanks.
So, look, they got torched, backs and tight ends, in the first two games. And you can see it in the images you showed that they did. They chipped these guys constantly coming out of there. And you can see Tannehill looking to the short part of the field and knowing that he can't go there. And then he's screwed because he sucks. And he can't throw the ball down the field either, if you ask me. Like, I just don't, you know, you tell me. It doesn't feel to me like he has great arm strength.
No, and look, you know, and I praised Adam Gase, you know, before, especially as his work done with Tannehill and what he's done.
Another one of these coaches that these football guys love, Maz. It's unbelievable. And they come in here and then they can't put one foot in front of the other.
I'm just going to ignore you. But anyways, so, you know, Tannehill is one of these guys where he has to be managed. You know, and I've been down on Tannehill for a long time. I mean, I've been amazed at what Gase has made him functional against, you know, mediocre opponents and things like that. That's because he dials everything very basic, all right? Like, look deep. If it's not there, hit your check down. Half field reads, roll him out. He's only got half the field to read. He is not a guy who's going to sit back there, and if the Patriots take away his first read, all of a sudden he's scanning, okay, number two, number three, number four, number five. That's not going to happen. It's 1-2, and then he doesn't know what to do and throws it away or runs. I think that was a big thing. They should have, I don't know, I know he's coming back from the ACL, but just to put it in the Patriots' mind, they should have had a designed boot or something early on in the game to maybe slow up the defense a little bit. But I just thought, you know, in general, and you know, in my column I wrote about it, I mean, in the first two, in the two games that they lost, the Patriots, to backs and tight ends, they gave up a 73% completion percentage for 203 yards, and the quarterback had 102.5 rating just throwing to those players. Against Miami, he was 1 of 4 outside right before the half when he dumped it down three times. And then when Brock Osweiler came in, 1 of 4. And so, I mean, it was very smart by the Patriots, whether it was Flores or Belichick, to say, okay, we know we can't cover linebackers or running backs and tight ends in the short area of the field, drag routes. Okay, so what are we going to do? Well, we're going to get physical, and we're going to try to take that away. And they executed great. Now, will they be able to do that against the Chiefs in a couple weeks? That's the big question.
Okay, we want your thoughts with Greg, 617-779-0985. Jimmy, you may release the hounds. Thank you. Your thoughts on Sony Michel, and before you start, I want to tell you that I went and did some more film work myself.
Good work.
Ooh,
in fact, like Greg Bedard, I don't have a clipboard. Maybe I can invest in one.
Yes. So did I. I did back. I put the videos up on our web, on our Facebook page.
So you did what?
For Sony Michel runs that you asked me to do last night.
Oh, I just saw what? Those specific runs.
Correct.
I went back and logged every one of his 15 first half snaps, and I ran out of time. I was going to do all 25, but I just got through the first half. So his first 15 snaps, to give a better look, because my initial reaction was any running back could have gotten those yards. And it was a nice day, but nothing special because the line did most of the work, or Devlin did most of the work. But was I being unfair? Was that just my, you know, preconceived bias against the running back or against that draft pick? So I'm nothing if not fair. I am fair. I'm a fair individual. I just am. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'll say it. And if I, you know, so I wanted to go back and look at it, and I did, and I charted it. Again, I don't have my
actual homework.
I don't have my clipboard, but I'll give you my results in a second. What did the film show you on Sony Michel?
I thought that largely overall, it was mostly the play design, the Dolphins, and the blocking. Most of it. I will say there were two plays where...
So let me just stop you. Just not that great.
I mean, it was you basically sort of what you guys said yesterday.
Fine.
You could put anybody back there. Like, you know, look at the running backs who were in the game last night. Philip Lindsay, I forget the other kid for Denver who scored.
Freeman, right?
Yeah, we're talking third, fourth round picks. Kareem Hunt, where was he taken?
Third round.
You put one of those guys in there, and I think you get more out of what he got
Me
at Michelle
too.
The other day.
Me too. You get more.
Very possible. I mean, yeah. I mean, there were times where
Michelle
went down with contact.
Okay, but I'm sorry. Go ahead. I want you to finish.
But there were two plays that if you were an optimist about Sony Michel, which I'm sure many Patriots fans are, he's a first-round pick, he's a running back, fantasy, all that stuff. There were two plays where the hole wasn't apparent, but he had great vision to see it develop on the backside, and he cut back. And they weren't the biggest runs that he had, but those are the types of plays where he's been putting one foot in front of the other in these 3 weeks, and that was another good step that you think, okay, the more reps that he gets, you're going to see more of that, where all of a sudden he starts right, sees the hole develop on the backside out of the corner of his eye, and then he cuts it back. You're going to see more of that, and he's going
to
be better.
Do you happen to have off the top of your head what plays those were?
I have one. I don't have the other.
Okay. Well, I'll give you the specific plays that I thought you've got a little something to work with. But on balance, here's my headline on Sony Michel. Little worse than I thought. Little worse than I originally thought. I went back to take another look at it to give him more credit and see if I was being unfair. And after looking at the first half, I might be even less impressed. Greg, I had him for, of the 15 snaps, 1, 2, 3, 4 positive plays.
So did I.
And, oh, very good. 4 positive plays in the first half. I had him for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 negative plays.
I had him for 4 negative plays.
Okay. So I and this is without looking at the end zone cameras.
This is cute. You two dorking out on the pluses
so
and minuses.
I don't even know. Like, in the break, we'll compare and contrast. I'm so excited now. So, like, this is without even the benefit of the end zone camera. But the plays that I liked and that I would hang my hat on, and I don't know if they're the same plays that you had, but they were between the tackles, behind Devlin, north, south, boom, right up the gut. He had a couple of those. His second run of the day was a 9-yard gain right up the middle. He followed right up behind Devlin, picked a side, boom, right down the gut, quick, decisive, downhill, loved it. Okay? And he had another couple of those in the first half, where, again, they were right up the middle. He gained 5 yards on a 2nd and 1, where he followed Devlin right up the middle, picked a side, got the yards, decisive, boom, downhill. And he did that 2 or 3 times, his 23-yard gain, the one where he broke the tackle at the second level. Again, followed Devlin through the hole. It was there. That play was wide open, but he got downhill, and they're all behind Devlin. Like, all of his big runs were behind Devlin. I also gave him a plus for a simple 3-yard gain at the end of the second quarter where there was someone in the backfield and he could have been taken for a loss and he shook him and picked up 3 yards. So, like, I'll give him a plus play for that because I'm nothing if not fair, Murray. But the rest?
Yes, firm but fair. That's Mike Felger.
The rest? I mean, on that first drive, on successive plays, he had huge gains around each edge where for 13 and 14 yards, where Bedard, you could have gained those yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't even running hard. He didn't need to. I'm not, those aren't negative plays to me, but they're just dead even. He didn't do anything on those plays. The touchdown run, again, he did nothing. And there was a bunch of those. So
didn't think he was effective on the goal line either.
Okay,
I thought there were plays to be made there.
Thank you. So I gave him 2 minus plays on the goal line. The reason you kicked a field goal on that first drive, you get 1st and goal at the 3. And you decide to go to Sony Michel on 1st and 2nd down because you're just obsessed with feeding this guy and getting him going. On the very first play, it's 1st and goal at the 3. He had room and he got ahead of steam going. He got stopped at the 1. And with a move there or lowering his shoulders a little bit or something, he could have gotten more out of that. First, and then his 2nd goal at the 1, they handed to him -1. And then you've got a throw and you're kicking a field goal. Like, people just wipe that out of their memory because you picked up the fantasy points. You don't even think about the negative runs or the plays that failed. So the whole reason they're kicking there on that first red zone trip is because he got stopped twice at the goal line. Okay, the whole reason you should have been 3 and out on the first possession because he had a 0-yard run on 1st down because you're trying to get him going. There was a bunch of those. There was another play in the first half where 55 brought him down with 1 hand. Did you grab that one, Bedard? I don't know if 55 is the middle linebacker. Whoever it is, I don't bother going and look at the names. 55 reached out his arm, grabbed him, brought him down with 1 hand. There was another play where he gets into trouble is when he runs laterally. And if there's nothing there, he'll pick up 13 or 14 yards like he did when there's, you know, the line collapses the entire defense, he'll pick it up. But if there was any sort of traffic there, there was a play, the second drive, he follows Devlin to the right, there's traffic, and he trips over the defensive lineman just laying on the ground for a negative run. Like, there were a bunch of them. It was worse. When I went back and looked at it and tried to be fair, I found he was worse. So there's my conclusion.
I don't disagree with you. The two runs that I really
I'm sorry,
liked,
Greg. Say that part again that you just began. I don't what? You don't disagree?
I don't disagree.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to make
thank
sure.
Thank you. Okay, neutral, unbiased film guy. Thank you. Go ahead.
Just wanted that on the record.
The two plays that I loved were 10:53 of the first quarter was the 9-yard run. He made a nice cutback. And then it was 5:13 of the third quarter where the play's designed to go up the middle. Even Devlin goes up the middle. There's nothing there, and all of a sudden he bounces it left and gets 9 yards. That was a very good run, and those are the runs that he's going to be a good to great back, to be a first-round back. He's going to have to make more of those.
Okay, also, he's going to have to do it without the caddy. I mean, yeah. Because if you've got to use Devlin out there just to get him right, then you're declaring to the defense, Devlin, I'm sorry, is sort of a useless player in the passing game. So you're losing one of your 5 eligible. I mean, it's self-explanatory. If you've got to bring in a fullback just to service your running back, you're limiting yourself. And so
that, and also the games where you see the games that are Devlin heavy are games where the Patriots look at the opponent and say, we can bully them. that we're better than them and we can push them around. How many are you going to see of those opponents, you know, in the big games, the games they're going to have to win? Not many.
Okay, we're off and running. Again, I took a second look at Michelle. I'm being fair. He was even worse than I thought. 617-779-0985.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5. Sports Hub.
Sony Michel had 17 carries at 3 yards or less. And just when you went back and looked at the tape, what were your thoughts on those plays?
I think that's somewhat the running game is. I mean, not every play is an 80-yard touchdown. So it's like every pass is an 80-yard touchdown. There's incomplete passes, and some runs gain less than others. You hope that you stay with it, and in the end, you know, you have production in the overall phase of the game.
If memory serves me right, you once told me that a running back should be able to get 2 yards by falling forward. So when you see these smaller runs play, is that not necessarily just on the running back, too?
I think if there's a stalemate at the line of scrimmage, a back can make a couple yards. Yeah, that's absolutely.
I cut that off right in the middle to make Michelle look worse. Because Bill goes on. He sort of mitigates it. Says not every play is an 80-yard touchdown. Well, you said that in the previous answer as well. Not every play is an 80-yard touchdown. I get it. 17 carries of 3 yards or less. And you all are putting Sony Michel in the Hall of Fame because you won your fantasy week. You people are pathetic.
And I would say, again, the majority of the big runs, not all of them, because that one that Bedard pointed out, that 9-yard run, what was that, third quarter you said?
Yep.
He got blocked up. He, you know, he left and then cut through and he picked up. It was a good game. That was a good run. The other ones, please. We could have had Murray high as a kite out there running backwards through those holes, for crying out loud. Captain Jack himself over here.
What's a question we keep getting on Facebook Live? Stevia or Indica?
No. Sativa or Indica. Stevia. That's the sweetener.
What a mess. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. The Stevia's in my shake. I forgot. I'm sorry.
Although now that you mention it, we should mix a little
bit. You could have one of those too and still get those yards that Michelle got yesterday. 617-779-0985. Tom and Newton, lead us off.
Yeah, hey, guys. Greg, so yesterday you wrote an article on BSJ about the Patriots and their game plan against the Dolphins, you know, essentially saying that they were more physical against the running backs and the tight ends. My question is, was that just really the strategy against the Dolphins, or is that going to be Bill's solution going forward to try to solve the problems they've had over the middle with, you know, gadgety-type offenses like the Chiefs coming up in a couple weeks?
It's a great question, I know a couple members asked it in the comments, and I've been thinking about it and trying to come up with it with an answer. Really, my answer is I'm not sure. I think
after all that time, that's what you came up with.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think
days
around.
Now.
Well, sometimes I need more days. Okay, but I don't
3 yards in a cloud of dust.
I'm hoping that you're terrible. I'm hoping that this can be selectively part of the game plan. I think it's because they weren't afraid of the Dolphins and Tannehill. I think that's the big thing, that they weren't afraid of Tannehill burning them, so they were able to be a little bit more aggressive. I mean, with Andrew Luck on Thursday night, can they do that? You know, I'm not sure. Do they need to with that if T.Y. Hilton doesn't play? I'm not sure. But the Chiefs are the whole, you know, kit and caboodle right now. I mean, we've seen them the past 4 weeks. I mean, that offense. And, boy, has the schedule given them a break or what?
But didn't Denver do a little something last night on them? I mean, they...
Yes.
The Chiefs scored touchdowns on their last two drives. Other than that, I mean, I can't.
They always have issues with the Broncos
at
for some reason.
That's not an easy, you know, that's a
and
tough
it's
place
a divisional. They know each other well, all that stuff. But, I mean, at least the Patriots are going to have 10 days to prepare for this. I mean, they're going to need all of it.
I'm sorry, you mentioned their schedule?
So they get a Thursday night game, and thanks to the Dolphins, they only had to play about three quarters on Sunday. The Colts had to play five quarters, the whole thing, to end up losing. And then, the Patriots get to be the home team on Thursday night. And then the Chiefs are coming in on Sunday night, and the Patriots get 10 days to prepare for all that Kansas City does on offense. And the Chiefs have to play Jacksonville on the Sunday before the game. And so that's a tough go for the Chiefs, and it's perfect for the Patriots. If the Patriots... This is going to be a great indicator on how good the Patriots are, because they're going to have plenty of time to prepare for this team. Of course, they did before the season opener last year, and it didn't help. But I expect the Patriots to play much better against the Chiefs on that Sunday night, and we'll know whether they're true contenders or not.
I mean, the only break Kansas City's getting there is that Jacksonville's at home. That's it. But otherwise,
yeah,
Monday
that
night.
That physical game?
Monday night in Denver. So, Sunday home against Jackson. Sunday night in New England.
And meanwhile, the Patriots have 13 or whatever. You know, they have the 10 days off after the Thursday night game.
Coming off Miami and the Colts. like talk about leading lambs to slaughter. And I'll tell you, I still think it's a tough matchup for the Patriots in that game.
Of course it is.
I mean, just like the because what and Greg, you tell me, but what I see that Kansas City has that Miami did not is a little more size in the pass catchers. So Watkins is big. You know, Kelsey's not huge for a tight end, but compared to the guy Miami got, he looks like a freaking Gronk out there. You know, Hunt's got some bulk and muscle to him. I feel like they can withstand the chipping more than Miami could.
Well, it's not only that. The Chiefs have multiple running backs that are effective out of the backfield. The Dolphins didn't really have any on Sunday. I mean, Kenyon Drake is fine, but he's not exactly a weapon out of the backfield. And then the Chiefs had two tight ends, and the Dolphins had two rookies. You know, and Gesicki's good, but he's not Travis Kelce and the other guy for the Chiefs.
617-779-0985. Pete in Jamaica Plain. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Felger. You guys, I mean, you're brutal how negative you are, okay? Bill Belichick, do you think he's smarter than you, Michael, or not?
Well, if you do that, you can't have a show, Peter. You still have to be allowed to second-guess and criticize.
Oh, okay. Well, Bill Belichick obviously saw something in this kid, all right?
Well, yeah, he also saw something in Cyrus Jones and Razi Dowling and Rohan Davey. I mean, so what does that mean, Peter? Like, if you go there, then you can't do talk radio. Michael, you've got to be able to second-guess these people. Do you think Grady Little knows more than you, Maz, about baseball?
Absolutely.
Do you think he should have taken out Pedro?
Nope.
Peter, that is about the stupidest, lamest thing you can say on a talk show. Do you think he knows more than you? I mean, really, Pete, of course. All these people know more than you.
That's the introduction, okay?
No, well, your intro sucked. Your introduction sucked.
Do you think there's a reason he drafted him that...
Do you think Pete Carroll knows more football than you? Should he have handed off to Marshawn Lynch?
Well, what are you... You don't think Pete Carroll knows more than you?
You can say about anyone in any situation, Pete. You can't have a discussion if that's where you start. Lousy introduction.
Okay. Can I say it different?
Yes, you may. Sorry.
Do you think Bill Belichick thinks about his draft choices?
Of course. He saw something in him and he liked him. But he also makes mistakes.
So, Peter, you like Lawrence Maroney then, too,
make
right?
A mistake? Okay, what did you want this kid to do? Rush for 1,000 yards? It's his third game back, and he missed summer training camp. He ran for 100 yards, and all you're doing is saying, whoa, we get to follow this, the fullback, blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
He averaged 8 yards a carry in his senior year. Okay, Bill Belichick.
What did he do? Great. So they won the SEC West. That's great. What does that do for us?
What did you want him to run for, 1,000 yards?
Nothing. I mean, he was fine. I'm not taking my pants off over that performance. It wasn't that good. That's all. I think on Sony Michel, you need to hold your horses. If you're hitching your wagon to him being a great player based on yesterday, you're going to be mistaken. Maybe he develops into one. I'm not telling you whether he's going to suck or not. I don't know if he's going to suck or not. I don't think he's looked great to start, and I don't think he looked great on Sunday. I don't.
I am astonished, really, and I know you've been down this road before. I can't believe people are this sensitive about this.
Because they drafted him in their fantasy league.
Well, Maz, you essentially did write him off last week.
Okay, so listen, I mean, again, when we played the sound again yesterday, I did say that he sucked and he blows.
Suck and blow.
A few times.
So which is the daily double. It's how you suck and blow.
Right, which means you've
covered all the bases.
Pretty much, yeah. There's no going up from there. But I'll say this. This game on Sunday, of course he was better. Yes, but when you watched it, how much room did he have to run on some of these plays? The lanes were gigantic, and he didn't have anybody touch him until he was 10 yards down up the field.
I've been down this road for years with the Patriots folks. Like, I felt this way about Lawrence Maroney. What an overrated stiff that
guy
was. You'll
get no argument out of me.
Painful. Oh, stinks. Just painful. But in year one...
So you don't think Bill knows what he's doing?
Maroney was awful.
But in year one, it was the same thing. Like, he put up some numbers in some of those games. It's like, but... Like, what? My favorite running back you've had here, I think, is Deion Lewis. I think that's the guy that created more out of nothing than anyone you've ever had. But he couldn't stay healthy, and so good riddance. Like, I didn't need to spend on that guy either. So, you know, I have a running back bias. That's at play as well. How about we go over three up and three down?
I would love to.
Have you gone over the film, Maz?
Oh, yeah. No, I went over it hard.
Do you have all, do you have all your selections ready?
Pretty much, yeah. I'm still fine-tuning the list.
Studs and duds from the game coming up right after Murray's update here, in which you will find out the start times they're in for the schedule and the ALDS and when the Red Sox will be playing the Yankees or the A's. Here are the details, and then we're back.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Now, it's time for three up.
He throws it left for Glock. He makes the catch over two defenders.
And three down.
A poor throw intercepted by Tyrann Mathieu.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Launch downfield. Throw into the end zone. With Smith there and Rowe as well. That pass is going to be intercepted by Gilmore.
Three down.
Absolute blown coverage right here. Poor tackling on the outside.
Here on Felger and Maz.
All right, couch clipboards. We've consulted the all 22, three stars and three duds. Studs and duds, 3-3 for the Patriots in their win over the Dolphins. Who's your number one star, Greg Bedard?
No question, no doubt, Kyle Van Noy. He was outstanding in this game. I mean, I had him for 11-plus plays, no negatives. He's really developed a playmaking role, and I talked to him a little bit about it after the game.
Oh, so he talked this week?
He decided to talk this week.
Oh, how about last week when they all sucked in Detroit? Was he accommodating to the media? Did he talk to the media?
He was not.
Oh, I see. So when they lose or he doesn't play well, he runs and hides, and when they win, it's like, bruh. Is that what it is?
You said it, I didn't.
Oh, that's...
Something like that.
Oh, so that's... okay, interesting. So he spoke this week anyway. He had a good game.
But he was awesome. I mean, that... You know, it's been interesting that he came in like middle of the year, 2016, and basically filled the gaps at stand-up linebacker. Last year, Hightower gets hurt. He has to play off the line. And this year, you would figure that Hightower might go back, you know, towards the edge playmaking role. But no, it's been Kyle Van Noy, and it's paying off. And I talked to him about it. They're freeing him up. He can make plays. He can use his instincts, and it's really become effective. Yeah, he's not quite Ninkovich. It's a different player, but same sort of impactful guy there on the edge. So it's been great so far.
Number one star, Kyle Van Noy.
No question, no doubt, James White. White, to me, was the best player on the field on Sunday. I thought he was dynamite. 5.5 yards a rush, 8.5 yards a reception, 2 touchdowns. He was the one guy that felt to me like Brady was comfortable going to every single time. Every single time. James White.
Second star, Greg.
James White. I mean, he's awesome in space. I mean, you know, he's still not going to break through many tackles within the tackle box and things like that. But you get him in space and get him a little bit of a head start. I mean, his feet are awesome. I mean, they're just dynamic.
Two.
Calvin.
Calvin.
Let's move ahead.
Okay, third star.
I said this early in the year.
He's gotten good.
He's improved.
No question.
He's improved, man. He is. He's turned into a pretty good player.
I would not disagree with that. Go ahead. Number three.
For now.
John Simon. I mean, 11 snaps.
I have to be honest. I have no idea who that is.
55. New guy.
He used to be on the Texans. Yeah, he had the sack.
Okay, but was it mostly the second half?
Yeah, late.
It was mostly late, I thought.
Yes, but he was still... I mean, to make 3 impactful plays and 11 pass-rushing snaps is pretty damn good.
Garbage time.
Yeah, all right.
I'm surprised that Greg skipped over this guy because he's a fatty. Lawrence Guy.
Yeah, I considered it, but I knew I'd get ridiculed.
Well, I did it for you, Greg.
I can't name him every week. I mean, look, I could.
The interior of the defensive line has been so putrid all year until this game, and I thought Guy was a factor in this game. He was moving people. He was hard to move. All of it. I thought he was, of the tackles, he was the best one.
You could make the argument that he has been consistently the best player in defense so far this year.
Okay, there are studs. Duds, number one dud.
Trent Brown got worked on the edge, 5 pressures, got Brady lambasted it a couple times. Just wasn't good. I mean, look, he had a tough matchup between Wake and Quinn, but they're going to need more out of him.
I mean, this is shooting fish in a barrel, but, you know, it was that kind of game. Ryan Allen, like two punts, 28.5 net. I thought he sucked in this game. I hate to pick on the punter, but he sucked.
That means it was a good day if the punter's your number one dud. Who's your number two dud?
Ryan Allen.
Oh, God.
I mean, look, you know, I must have missed the punt. There was a punt, I think, before halftime where, oh, it was right before Ryan Tannehill's shotgun snap. The Patriots decided to punt from their own 40. He punts it to the, I think, the 24.
He totally, like, shanked it.
Yes, and then they returned it 12 yards. Like, that's not even close to good enough. They're just lucky. The Dolphins had the ball on the 36-yard line. It was a net of, like, 12 yards. And thank goodness Ryan Tannehill dropped the snap, or else that could have been bad.
No, that's right. He decided to let the center snap it off his face and then give the ball back to the Patriots. That was a nice play. My second one, Dwayne Allen. I'm just going to pick on the Allens this week, actually. So screen pass to him that as soon as he caught it, you knew it was dead. There's no way he's deking anybody.
What's his yards per carry average? He had minus four and one. I think it was two catches anyway.
He had one catch from minus four.
Right. Yeah. Oh, the second one he didn't even catch. So yeah. He averages minus 4 yards.
Yeah. Catch. Minus two per target. Every time they throw to him, they lose 2 yards, whether he catches it or not. He blows too.
Number three, Todd Craig.
I went with Chris Hogan, but I don't think this was all of his doing. I mean, look, he played 70 snaps.
So hold off on that because we're going to talk about that next. What's happened to Chris Hogan? What's your number three, Dud?
Okay, so I had trouble on the third one, but I went with two. So you got to bear with me. One, Joe Tooney. Because they had a 38-yard screen pass that he got busted on that holding that got called back. Yeah. Like, big mistake. Like, and I know Zoe was losing his mind over it on the radio, but he didn't even have to make the whole. It was a bad play. And the other one would be Belichick. For this reason, one, you having Tom Brady aired it out down the field in the fourth quarter, 9 minutes to go in a 31-0 game at that time, stupid.
So I asked, what did Miami do to piss him off? Because the Pats only do that when they're pissed off at the opponent. They want to rub it in. I got two theories. One is Kiko Alonso was running around giving out cheap shots.
Yes, he's dirty.
And so they wanted to take it out on Alonso. And the second was the Pats were hurrying up at one point, and the Dolphin faked an injury. Remember when he hit the turf?
Yes, yeah. Right.
And so the Pats wanted to make him pay for that, and they nearly got Brady killed. Still stupid.
And I tie a second coaching decision into that, which is that stupid-ass kickoff by Gostkowski. What was that? All of a sudden, now they're popping it up and letting him catch it at the 22-yard line and then run 10 yards forward? So that's the strategy? I hated it. Absolutely. Just kick the ball out of the end zone like everybody else and end it.
There's three up, three down. Back to your phones, I promise. And what has happened to Chris Hogan? That is next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Quick throw to Hogan, left side, 40, 35, 30, along the far sideline. Fitzpatrick chases him out of bounds, but Chris Hogan out of the box score with that catch and run. Brady with a strike and a quick release.
And he's the first guy.
The Dolphin, 28-yard line.
Really nothing highlight, meaningless play. Chris Hogan, garbage time of that ball game. But we play it because that was Chris Hogan's lone target and lone catch, 25 yards, garbage time.
70 snaps.
Okay, 70, wow, 70 snaps. Brady looks at him once. I know you have a thought on this, Jim Murray.
Yeah, and I asked Greg about this in the post game. Same with Beadle on Sunday, and that's whether or not you think Chris Hogan's role is going to be diminished even when Julian Edelman comes back, because the way it looked Sunday, and really at points throughout the season so far, it's seemingly like Brady would rather look at someone like Philip Dorsett or Patterson or even Dwayne Allen. I mean, he got two targets on Sunday. It feels like something might be up with Chris Hogan.
I do not disagree with you. And in fact, after watching this film, Chris Hogan was open three or four times, wide open, and Brady didn't even look at him. I mean, I know, watch, he's going to catch three touchdowns and go for 150 on Thursday night. So, you know, you can mark the tape and play this back then. But I don't know. To me, it feels like he's out of the circle of trust for some reason. And I don't know what's happened. I mean, because you look at his four-game total, we all thought, okay, Julian Edelman's out. He's going to have to rely on Chris Hogan.
Yeah, Hogan steps up.
You know, he's the guy. I think he has, like, you know, eight catches or, you know, it's been, I forget, I wrote it Sunday night, but it's been very limited, his effectiveness. And there were times, and probably the best play to illustrate it was 5:49 left in the second quarter when Brady, he gets killed from the backside. It's when he throws the Gronk, who's double covered down the right sideline. Hogan is coming wide open underneath, would have all day to run. Brady didn't even look at him. And you could see Hogan at the end of it kind of jumps up, almost stomping his feet a little bit, like, why won't you throw to me?
Hmm.
And so it's just, it's been very curious, Chris Hogan's usage of late.
Cordarrelle Patterson has as many catches as Hogan does.
So what is up with this?
And in fact, Brady's 8-for-12 throwing to Patterson, 8-for-15 throwing to Hogan. I mean, something smells there.
Okay, so add that to the list. You're all lined up. We'll continue to get to you here with Greg Bedard. Annoying caller is Scott and Wayne. He joins us next. Hi, Scott.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and thank you again for the nice introduction. All right, real quickly, 2 points, Felger, please. About Hogan, this offense is in neutral right now until Edelman gets back, so that doesn't scare me that they're not throwing to Hogan. Right now, they're just treading water, for lack of a better term. They're trying to figure out who they are. Hogan may get 9 targets next weekend once Edelman's back, and they can, you know what I'm saying. The pressure will be off him, and you know what I'm saying. Okay, furthermore, the Patriots made a great response Sunday. Now, this may get, you may disagree. That was an awesome response in a division game against an undefeated team at home.
Let me stop. Greg, do you agree with that? Was it an awesome response?
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, is it something that we should expect and shouldn't be surprised about from this Patriots team? Yes, but I think you could say, in the grand scheme of things, yes, it was an awesome response on both sides of the ball.
No. I mean, and when I say not awesome, I mean, it was good. But, like, I don't get impressed by one game against Miami at home when the Dolphins don't show up. So, like, was it a good response? Yeah. Yeah, there was more intensity, more energy there, no question about it. I personally would not call it awesome. That feels like too much for me.
So, Edelman, yeah, if he comes back and is Julian Edelman, he'll solve a lot of problems. Like, that's obvious. What if he's not the same guy? And last year, were you second in the league in points scored? What'd you finish with? You were top five anyway in points scored without Julian Edelman for 16 games. Can you have that kind of offense this year?
No way.
Okay, so that's sort of what I judge it against. I mean, yes, if he comes back and is the same player, obviously that's going to help you. Like, duh. What if he's not the same player? What if he gets hurt again? Now, you know he's off steroids now, right? And he was previously on them, right? You think that's going to affect his performance? Seemed to me it would. I don't know, just using deductive reasoning. He's also 32 and a bad knee. So if he's the same guy, great. I guess you're all set. Okay?
They were second in the league in scoring points per game last year. Only the Rams were higher.
I can't believe they're 15th and 23rd in yards. I don't think I've ever seen them there.
So there you go. Last year, they were without Julian Edelman, and they were second in the league in points. This year, without Julian Edelman over the first four games, they're down to 15th. So what does, if it's all on that guy, then I'm sorry, you don't have a very good offense. I mean, you should be more than just that.
I mean, again, you know, Cooks, Amendola, Lewis, like those three are gone too.
Sean in the car, go ahead, Sean. Hello, Sean. Okay, babe, you can call us back. You know the number. Here's someone who's never annoying, Bob in Easton. Hi, Bob.
You know, the question isn't whether you know more than Belichick or coaches. The question should really be presented: do you know more than anybody? You know, this baffles me. And I listened yesterday, and so, Maz, do me a favor. Say Gronk sucks. Say Brady sucks. Because every time you say a player sucks, they end up doing it. They end up playing great. So yesterday wasn't impressive. It wasn't awesome. I can only imagine if they lost that game. And here's where you guys are so hypocritical and you're morons. So, Bedard, you guys just talked about Mahomes last night, and you said, "Oh, you know what? Though he was brought down to earth a little bit. Well, it was a defensive, it was a division game, you know, and it's always tough to play that. But the Patriots played a division game, and they smoked them."
So, Bob, you're going to compare hosting the Dolphins in Foxborough versus going into Denver and playing a division game in Denver. You're comparing those two.
No, idiot. What I'm comparing is, it's division games.
It's a little nasty,
and you know what?
Bob.
Well, because... does.
Not all division games are treated equal. I mean, you're saying hosting the Dolphins in Foxborough is the same as going into Denver. That's what you're saying. I mean, they're both division games. I mean, who's the idiot, Bob? I mean, that's silly. I mean, come on. Going to Denver is a tough pull. And on Mahomes, I didn't even give him that break. I mean, maybe Denver figured him out a little bit, or just Denver's speed on defense was a good neutralizer there. I didn't just put it on the stadium, but, I mean, since you went there, I mean, I just would not compare hosting Miami in New England to going into Denver.
I mean, look, I thought it was an awesome response by the Patriots, but still. I mean, in what alternate universe were the Dolphins going to come in here and go 4-0 and three games up on the Patriots in the AFC East?
Not my alternate universe.
Not mine either. In fact, they're not going to my real universe either.
Give me a break with that. Tom and Seekonk, go ahead on Sony Michelle. What do you got?
How you doing? By the way, I sang at Bob from Easton's wedding, so he was just gone. It's a coincidence.
Is that true?
It's true. I was in his wedding. I know Adam very well. I played baseball with him at Massasoit.
Unbelievable.
Go to one of those family parties. You'll be hiding under the table.
What did you sing, Tom, just while you're on it? What did you sing?
Elvis. Can't help falling in love. So. Eddie Vedder style, so I know you like that, fella. Anyway, my point is, Garoppolo last year comes in, plays some ragtime. You know, you guys have your pants off. He's going to be the next Brady. And how'd that work out for you? Sonny Michel has a game. He sucks. And Edelman isn't even back yet. When he comes back, that's going to open up the running game even more. So he might run for 200 yards. I'll let you guys talk about that.
Well, let's so see. Did Jonas Gray.
Thank you. Very good. So did Jonas Gray.
I mean, you know, 100-yard game by a rookie. Last one was undrafted Brandon Bolden. I mean, you know, it's...
See, that's the part that people are confusing. It's like, I'm not sitting here telling you Sony Michel's a stiff. I did last
you
week.
You did.
Last week.
You totally did.
Last week. Multiple times.
No, not a stiff. Socks blows. Yeah.
Socks blows.
No, that was last week.
Daily double.
I agree. I take my medicine on that one. But this game on Sunday.
It's the quinella.
This game on Sunday, there could have been a lot of guys back there you could have handed the ball off to. That's all.
That's going to be the whole thing with Sony Michel. Did you need to draft him in the first round? Did you need to get this guy? And it's going to be impossible. Everyone's going to have their opinions. Patriots fans are going to think that he's special. Other people are going to say, you know, look, Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt, you know, all these guys that grow on trees. You could have had anybody, you know, all that stuff. But, I mean, the essential question is going to be, could you have drafted a guy like Calvin Ridley, who now leads the league in touchdowns as a wide receiver, or, you know, could you draft him in the first round and then draft a running back later? But I think, look, if I had to make a guess on how this went down, I think A, McDaniels had an influence on it.
Thank you.
And I think that B, I think the Patriots liked so much of what they had with Deion Lewis in the backfield that they were like, we have to get a guy like him.
Well, how can they stop throwing to him then? How can they stop throwing? Michelle didn't get a target this game, did he?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, baby steps. I mean, it's obvious the way
it's
obvious
weeks.
That they don't trust him in
the pass
blocking.
They don't trust him, period. They gave him the fullback this week. That was the big difference. He had Devlin.
Training wheels.
On most all of his plays, so he had a caddy. And then they stopped throwing to him. Again, there wasn't a single target. They threw to him the first couple weeks. So now they said, all right, well, we got to get something out of this. So they gave him Devlin in the running game, and they stopped throwing to him. So we'll see. I'm not telling you he sucks either. I don't think he did anything special in this game on Sunday. If you go back and watch it, I don't know how you could disagree. Tell me what he did special. Go back and watch it like I did and tell me what he did special. We continue with Bedard. No commercials here, just an update. Also, how about this? We're giving away Patriots tickets to Thursday night's game. Ha! How do you like that? There's a little bonus for you. There's a little gift for having to sit through this pain and suffering of Maz and I ripping the Patriots. There's a payoff. You could get free tickets to the game. I'll give you details on how to win them today. Coming up right after Murray's update again. 90 seconds, no commercials.
This is Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.